previously, and I don't see anybody else. Hopefully we have this speaker. Joe and Michelle, then the two need to sit down and help the audience. Yeah, that's not natural resource presentations.
Sorry. So if you remember last month, you had asked us to come back and kind of give you an update on where we were at with Rio Vista Park, what we've done, where we're going, the status of things. So we asked Matt Christman, the project manager, to provide the update for it.
Matt. Would it be easier if you sit here?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I'm just trying to be nice.
I'm Matt Christman. I'm new to the Parks and Rec Department. I started in November. One of my projects is Rio Vista. So I was asked to come up with a timeline for the master plan along with the construction document. So back in January of 22, the project for the master plan got kicked off at that time. In February of 2022, the public survey began. Then in April of 2022, there was a public open house where 36 attendees attended that open house with the consultant that was selected. And then the public survey closed in April as well. So it was open for roughly 2 months. And they had 309 responses for that survey. And then in May of 22, the consultant met with Rito Bend Neighborhood Association, along with meeting with the Friends of Rio Vista Group as well. So they had two separate stakeholder meetings that were separate in May of 22. Then they had another public open house in September of 22. And that was on September 7th of 2022. Then the final in November of 2022, the final master plan was submitted by Smith Group. And the master plan came to, for consideration to the Parks and Rec Commission at the November 30th, 2022. And then it wasn't considered at that meeting, so then it went to the December of 2022's meeting, and at that meeting, it was approved. The master plan was approved on December 28th of 2022. Then the master plan went to mayor and council for their adoption of the master plan in March 21st of 2023. So that gives the whole layout for the timeline for the master plan for Rio Vista Park. Now I'm going to talk about the design and construction timeline for Rio Vista Park. So in December of 2022, Watershed Management Group was notified at the time from the project manager that was over to proceed with the design and construction documents for Rio Vista, going off of what the recommendations were from the master plan. And then in January of 2023, Watershed Management Group became under contract. So they got their notice in December, officially got under contract in January. Between February and June of 2023, Watershed Management Group provided multiple iterations of design from the master plan recommendations, which included the consolidation of the trail network. And under that, it was close unwanted trails and provide temporary barriers, update primary trails, and then revegetate the disturbed areas because a lot of the people have been walking in a lot of the open areas. So where there's wildcat trails, they're beefed up the vegetation, so we're trying to bring it back a little bit in those areas. and then revegetate the disturbed open spaces as well. And then a part of that is repair and expand the irrigation system so the plants there can survive and thrive. And then enhance the riparian area as well. Do some stormwater harvesting in the park, and then preserve the bird nesting area as well. And then in December of 2023, Greg and myself met with Watershed Management Group to see what their progress was after all these iterations, see where they were at, and then met with them and made some more recommendations to them. And then in January of 2024, myself and Jasmine Chan met with the Friends of Rio Vista and the Rito Bend Neighborhood Association to lay out the construction plans at a meeting January 31st of 2024. And my estimation, there was about 15 attendees at that meeting. And so with that, their iterations along with the construction documents, in April of 2024, we're looking to do the invasive species removal. So the tentative dates are April 8th through April 17th of 2024. We're looking to do basin excavating for the rain harvesting basins at the park, April 18th through April 22nd. And then the trail work / signage installation to begin April 23rd of 2024. And then for July and August of 2024, we're looking to do more basin work, irrigation, hydro seeding, and ADA path construction. And then some of the stuff that we've identified for volunteer groups, like the Neighborhood Association and Friends of Rio Vista to help with, are the planting of plants, shrubs, and the trail brush out. So, and then the next document, so that's the layout for the timeline for this project. And then I included, according to the master plan, what the park improvement recommendations were. So you can see the very first recommendation of high priority was for the consolidation of the trail network. And like I said before, it listed the close unwanted trails, provide the temporary barriers, update primary trails, revegetate the disturbed areas. And then the second priority for improvement was the revegetate the disturbed open spaces. And then with that, it was to repair and expand the irrigation system. And then three was to upgrade the trail network signage. So we're doing that as well. And then enhance the riparian areas to try and bring back some of the bird species in the area. And with that, we think that the stormwater harvesting will allow for water to stay at the park to help with the enhanced riparian areas as well. And then
so these five things are what these are five of the things that Watershed Management Group is contracting to do the design.
Correct. Correct.
And that includes the construction of the trail network itself.
So
yeah, that was just a question.
So it was part of the trail work. It was the recommendation off of the consolidated network. So if you go to the next slide, Bruce. Right there. So this is a part of the master plan. So this is their trail system. So where the green is. So on this, where this stuff is all the unwanted trails. So on this document, there's the restoration plan that Watershed Management came up with, and they have X's across that. But on the master plan, they have where to plant to revegetate the area to close off those trails. So they're using this master plan to do the trail system, what to close and that kind of stuff from the master plan. It's not that they're creating the system all by themselves. They're using the master plan for that.
Okay, watershed management doesn't do the work. They do the design work, but then we have to contract someone else back to get it together. Well, they do the design. They tell us, here's what you do and where you should do it. And then we take that plan and work with contracts and put it out and the volunteers to do the work.
I'm just a little unclear on who made the major decisions about which trails are going to fit in.
That was all done during the mapping. That's why this picture was in the master plan.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just waiting for.
I think we know just from the last meeting that there is conversation and why this was asked to be put on the agenda is because there is absolutely modification of the trails on the master plan. As well as you gave the priorities. Also planting what was up for discussion still, we talked about it this last meeting, was 365 plants that are being planted and the irrigation of those and the modification of the trails. Those are still two things that my understanding are still on open for hoping to have some discussion. This has been, you're lucky it came into a phenomenal process that has already had great success. So, people have done a great job. It has some really fantastic stakeholders that really give the whole picture of what the neighborhood and the community wants for this park. This is, is it right to say, is this the first natural resource park that is the master plan? Would that be a correct statement? Said last month, we're crossing the line. I spoke with Councilmember Dahl, represent Ward 3. I love the relationship with Parks and Rec and with the community in Rio Vista Park. So we're all asking is, can we just get over the finish line with this being a best practice for all other natural resource parks to follow? And it's two simple requests from what I'm hearing from stakeholders is, to continue that progress, with collaboration with the stakeholders on what I hear to be the two issues, which is the modification of the trails. It's not at all, I worked in Ward 3, I was a council aide, it's not at all odd to continue collaboration, and should be, throughout the entire process. You don't just present a master plan and then you go through the plan, hire out the contractors, without any further discussion with the community. It's an ongoing circular process. So that's where we are today. And Tom said, from my discussions, maybe you said you were going to speak to Councilmember Dahl.
Let me have one clarification on the community agents. I think one thing that may have confusion from the community agents, I think that's what the council as a commission was asking about, and So typically when we go into design, we don't typically continue to engage the community during design. Typically we've hired a professional who's going to go do the work. Now we might go back and maybe show them what we're doing, but we typically do very little of any engagement in design. Well, I guess that we're going to continue to work with stakeholders. In our mind, that was we had asked Watershed Management Group to, as they were doing design work for these different elements, tell us what you need to pay a contractor to do, because it needs a specialized skill, and look at things that we continue to engage the community with that we can use volunteers to do. So that was the engagement in my mind I was thinking was, great. We know there's things on this plan that we can use volunteers to do, and we will engage the stakeholders and the community groups to do that. And there are certain things that we got to get contractors to do. So that's what I was thinking about. Here's how we're going to engage them going forward is, great, after the design work's done, the watershed management's going to tell us these are the things you can do with the community.
Watershed management
overall, they're
the umbrella, right?
They're doing the design work. Then what they've done with that design work, what they've told us is here are things that you need to pay a contractor to do. So like building the stormwater harvesting areas requires equipment, and so we're going to have to hire someone to go in there with a loader, take the dirt out. We can't have volunteers doing that work. So he's been very, watershed management is very clear on the things that we would need to hire a contractor for versus the things that, yeah, totally makes sense. You can use the state board.
I'm not talking about one or the other. I'm talking about contractors versus volunteers. I'm talking about the process, the success is in the process.
Yep.
So Robin, you asked, we spoke with Councilmember Dahl. We did. This morning, he emailed us this letter, which I know Diana did send out, but I offered also, just because of the late providing of it, that I'm happy to read it into the record, which he says, Honorable Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission, my office is aware of concerns expressed at the February 2024 commission meeting regarding the implementation process of the adopted 2023 Master Plan for Rio Vista Natural Resource Park. I and my staff have been fully involved in the process that included public meetings involving multiple stakeholders and reviewing survey results. The level of community engagement and stakeholder priorities resulted in the elimination of the dog park from the proposal and allowed for a unified vision for the park. I fully support the final adopted master plan and what is envisioned for the park. PPRD engaged Watershed Management Group based on their expertise and work specified by the master plan to design and outline elements of the plan for contractors to perform and where feasible for volunteers and stakeholders to stay engaged in the work to be done at the park. I have confidence in the Watershed Management Group and their role in the supporting the master plan vision. Rio Vista Natural Resource Park requires a lot of improvements to enhance and preserve what is beloved by many in the community. While there may be a desire for frequent engagement on all details of work to be done by some stakeholders, I request that the vendors contracted are allowed to execute the plan and move forward while providing updates and volunteer opportunities when applicable. That was provided this morning for us to share.
So, talking about mission process, my understanding is the mission is an agreement with the three people here that if there are people that have questions that are here, we agree to that. But I would like to hear what input.
Yeah, I believe you can opt to, yeah.
They call you on the agenda. Yeah. You can take all your audience during a specific agenda topic.
That was my understanding. Becky, are you okay with that?
Yes.
And I'm good.
I am.
Jennifer, what from the stakeholders that you have been so very engaged in, tell me about your thoughts on the trail. The process with the trail.
Yeah.
And what you're hearing now, do you still feel that there is a process for input on that from what you're hearing today?
No, I mean, seeing this timeline makes it really clear that there's not such a process. And I actually have some questions for Amanda, and then we have one question for the commission. It's okay for me to ask those questions. And I think that might clarify, you know, where
yes.
we are on this topic.
Yes.
So Matt, thanks again for the presentation. It's really good to have the timeline to work with. You mentioned it in general, and we met in August again, January. But it's good to have this piece of this. But I was wondering, I know you're relatively new to the department, but are you aware that 2 years ago, PREPS approved a plan with scope of work to trail rehabilitation and vegetation at Rio Vista. And just for the benefit of the commissioners, because I'm not sure that all of you know this, this plan was commissioned by Friends of Rio Vista. It was paid for with private sector funds that we raised. And the plan was approved by PARF and also PAP, which I think we've been working on the college budget for 2 years. So we've been closing trails. We've been doing a lot of the work that we propose to do in the future. And actually, the approved plan is appendix to the master plan, so it's, you know, sort of shouldn't be a surprise to the department if the department was aware of the approval already. And the volunteers and pro bono consultants have been implementing work since July of 2022. So what I'm wondering is, wouldn't it make sense for parks to take advantage of the donation of time, money, and expertise that we've made and to involve the departments, not the conservation department, to Rio Vista and other stakeholders in revising the WMG proposal? We're not asking for the WMG proposal to be tossed out or necessarily for the timeline to be changed if we can work, you know, work with that. But it's confusing to me why the previously approved plan wouldn't give us standing more or less to be involved in the process of promises for all of them. And if
did that plan go through a community engagement process?
I'm sorry?
Did that plan go through a community engagement process? And your plan was approved? Because I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, well, the approved plan is an appendix in the master plan. So it was approved along with the master plan. And I have the written agreement today for my
guide. Did that plan go through a community engagement process? So when the community engaged, that plan was developed?
No, it was a process that, I mean, it was a plan that we hired, actually the same contract with the city hired, to do for Friends of Rio Vista. We submitted it to the department. Mike approved it, and then in July, pardon?
It was sent on Mr. Dennis?
No, actually, I have a copy of the memo here, and you approved it, but, and then Sean approves the pilot project that we've been doing.
So this was around the early time that I joined the department, if I recall, and I remember there was the provision that we knew that the master plan process was going to happen, and was to be engaged in any work that you would be doing at the site, but all the awareness that there would be a certain point in time where the master plan would then become the revenue dominant plan.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what I recall.
Yeah.
And so we were allowing you all to close the wildcat trails and do some maintenance at that point in time. But now here we are 2 years later with a master plan that I thought you all endorsed. I don't understand where the conflict really lies in terms of where we are today, the process that got adopted, the development of a plan based on a master plan that everybody was in support of. So where is the convergence?
The difference is that we totally support the master plan. We've not been involved at all in the implementation plan. And my question is not just now, was if somebody's been working out there for two years and collecting data and knows which trails should be true, those in which to, and we have engaged stakeholders, why wouldn't you allow those people to have some input? But
the Smith Group developed the master plan, and I recall that the Smith Group was provided the input that you provided. So I'm lost in the difference between what the master plan adopted and what you're indicating that there's now a variance. Because that, I know that there was
the trails.
I know that there was the intention to provide Smith Group once we had them engaged with your document, and I know that that was done. So is it that even though we provided that, you don't see that reflected in the master plan?
It's reflected in the master plan. It's not reflected in the implementation, which is a different plan.
So the implementation plan, is it a one and done? Or is it phased?
It's done in different phases in the park. It's
According to the timeline that matches the plan, that there are already plans that to start very soon on implementing the master plan. We have not been involved in that. In fact, another question that I had was, we submitted point by point comments on the WMG scope of work. That's quite a while ago that we submitted that. We also submitted a survey on trail network that we did with all the stakeholders. And we've never received any response to any of those. And so what I'm wondering is, when will we receive this?
And I said it was a really good question. Where is the conflict? Because I don't even think there's a conflict. It's not
right.
And well, everybody fully supported the best period. And now it's in the implementation.
I don't disagree, but that's why we keep having the connection points. That's why there was a meeting in January to involve all the stakeholders. And so we acknowledge that the stakeholders are the neighborhood association, residents, as well as the friends of the park. We have really tried to make sure that we are hearing and reflecting. And I think that it was great that Councilmember Dahl reflected the removal of the dog park. She did that with a contentious issue. And I think it really does reflect the fact that we've tried to be extremely sensitive to everyone's ideas in terms of what this park needs to be and how it needs to move forward. The implementation plan is based on the adopted master plan that shows a document here that shows a trail network. Have we deviated in the trail network that you can see from what the master plan, what Watershed Management Group has presented?
What is it with the trail?
So the trails, the primary trails are the, so you got, these are the primary trails going throughout the whole park. And then these are on the restoration plan that WMG came up with. You'll see X's in these areas instead of the revegetation. So, and then we have a planting plan for the different zones, because if you go to the restoration plan, there's different zones. So they have it broken out in these zones. We're going to plant these many shrubs, that kind of stuff too. And then we are coming up with a plant or an irrigation plan of how to tie into the existing system to get water to the new planting. So it's not that we're not going to do that work. We're just going to hire a contractor to do that work, the expert. And then for the trail system, who we're contracting with is the Conservation Corps, because they're the leaders and the experts to do that, that work. And then the Conservation Corps is also going to come back later and do the ADA path as well, because once again, they're the experts for that work. So that's why we're contracting with them to do the implementation of closing the trails and building up the trails where they need to be built up and that kind of stuff too.
I was trying to remember, last month, you were in on the conversation about versus all the multiple uses for the trail, right? So is this, what was your understanding of what was in the master plan based?
No, I think one of the problems is that this map of the trail system, that's something that apparently Smith Group came up with without input from community. I mean, we were, Friends of Rio Vista is one of the major stakeholders, obviously, we were never involved in decisions about what the trail network should be. And so, as far as I can tell, that was something that was just a placeholder. I mean, one of the things that's, the top priority is consolidating the trail network. And that, our understanding was that that would be essentially overall trail network. And taking into account the experience that we've had last couple of years for which trails need to close and which don't. And there is no consensus that this equestrians have not been consulted, or at least the equestrians that have been giving us input. They're concerned about dangerous aspects of what Watershed Management Group has for race trails. We also have concerns from the birding community because trails are being closed and trails that have been recommended aren't being established that would allow us to keep the birders on the trails and not to keep continuing to degrade the habitat by people going on the trail for the birding or walk their dogs or whatever. So there are a lot of stakeholders who haven't been involved. Taking this map is something that was a result of community engagement. It was not. So if it was present, we would so basically the Providence Oaks Native Association.
The map is in the master plan.
Right, but what I'm saying is that this was apparently something that a Smith Group came up with. The Smith Group consulted the community about the priorities, all that sort of thing. They didn't sit down and say which trails should be closed and which should be open. Or which ones should be open. Should we open any new trails? For example, Tucson Audubon Society suggested, you know, a birding trail and an interpretive trail. We've proposed those parts. We've never received a response. So all we're asking for, and that's my question for the commission, is can we engage in a facilitative process that would allow us to have a response to our input and to have some back and forth? We realize that consensus means that not everybody's going to be happy. So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of things that many of the stakeholders would like that simply aren't feasible, or, you know, there are different stakeholder groups who don't agree. But the idea that we never received a response to any of our comments, even though we responded to the Watershed Management Group scope of work. I mean, Tom Fisher, when he was the project manager, he created this informal steering committee, and we were working toward it. I mean, Tom left, you know, the idea that ended. What I'm asking is, why can't we reestablish that? Because it was working really well.
So it's hard for us to speak for what Tom was doing or didn't do, or but neither one of us were aware of a steering committee. But what it comes down to is there's a master plan that reflects the trail network. It was brought here twice. First time we weren't comfortable, the commission wasn't comfortable to approve, so then we brought it back. There was an agreement. This is the adopted plan, which reflects a trail network, that then we proceed to move forward to engage the company to design based on. So the way that I'm looking at it, though, through this perspective is just like any other master plan where there's, say, called upon for a splash pad to go here and a playground to go here, it's exactly the same as looking at this particular map that's very detailed. You know, there's numbering, there's a key, it shows everything. We've kind of now adopted this. This is now what we're held to because it's an adopted plan. And that is what the company, Watershed Management, right, was engaged to then build upon. We've contracted them and we have paid them to complete that. So how much flexibility is now available when we're at the point of them completing what we gave them a notice to proceed to do? And they successfully done it. And now we have the company, the Arizona Corps, engaged to proceed with work. You know, it's not a great space to be in because we've been following through because we thought we had consensus. We had support from the commission, support from mayor and council. We continue to move forward. To at least understand.
Well, we kind of knew we'd be in this position last month when it was brought up last month. This year we are now another month closer.
And not to mention the fact that we've been trying to be involved for, you know, a couple of years now, and we've been told, you know, you have to wait, you have to wait. And so we haven't been the ones who were the giant LA this year. I mean, we've been excluded, you know.
We made sure that you were invited to all the meetings, that you were part of the process, that you were aware of the surveys. And even to the meeting that occurred in January to make sure that everybody's aware of what the next steps are. So I don't think it's entirely fair to say that we've not tried to include you and the other stakeholders that we know value this park. We know this park's important. We've also stayed very closely in touch with Councilmember Dahl's office on this because this has been a priority project. We did go through some delays by the fact that we lost project managers, and then that's how we hired Matt. And so now we come to this step where it's time to move forward.
Yeah, except for the fact that we submitted comments in August of 2023, but we never received response.
Which is exactly the same time that Tom left.
Yeah. The scope of work that Washington Land hired to do is based on the master plan. So these were the 10 highest priorities in the master plan.
Does watershed management know that there's this conversation?
Why would...
They're doing what we directed them to do.
Right.
What we directed them to do was to develop plans based on the highest priority of the master plan.
And now they're implementing it with
the... No, they're not. They're just disagreeing. They don't do the construction work. So it's no different than when Bill Barney in the ballpark. They're Kinley Horn Consulting to do design work. And I take that design work, and I got to take that design work, then we'll hire a contractor to actually do the work. Okay. The same thing we're doing here is we do with every other project we do things.
So the design is up.
Design is, and actually not answer done. Yes. Now we can go to the implementation.
Is there any way in this that we could do
anything? Or no? But
well, the thing is, the master plan's adopted.
Right.
What authority do we have at this point to take something that mayor and council has approved? You know, then that opens the precedence for us to do that for all master plans, right? But where I have the discomfort is the fact that the trail system is very clearly outlined in the master plan. We publicized that. We put it out there. We brought it to commission. We were asked to bring it again to the, you know, a different meeting to make sure there was a comfort level in approving. And so from my perspective, when there's that approval and we move forward with the master plan, the idea is, okay, this is what we're designing and building based off of. It's how we've proceeded with every other park process, that we've been working through. Now, different master plans get approached differently because sometimes we don't have all the money to do the entire master plan at that time. And so, sometimes, like Joaquin Marianne is a really good example, we had a 10-year gap between when the master plan was adopted, and so we did a brand new community engagement process, and then we went back to make sure that everything was fine, and then we moved forward. But this is a very fresh real time. So.
Laura, where in the master plan does it say that, like, the little trees mean that those trails are going to be? Pardon? Right, but that doesn't say that those trails are necessarily going to be closed. Our understanding of the master plan, and believe me, we wouldn't have approved the, we wouldn't have supported the approval of the master plan if we had known that that this map was anything other than a placeholder. It's sort of a general indication. That isn't what we were led to believe. And in our mind, consolidating the trail network means redesigning the trail network so that it functions to keep the habitat and continuing to be degraded. And so, again, all we're asking is to be involved in the design of the trail network, in the modification of the trail network so that there aren't liability issues for the city down the line. There aren't budget issues for the city down the line. There aren't management issues. I mean, everything from the possibility of accidents to planning 365 plans and having, we've gotten conflicting information about the irrigation. So we've been told they were all going to be trunk lines, so they would have to be all hand watered. And we know from 2 years of hand watering plants in one little area that that's very, very difficult and that is so daunting. These things are just it wouldn't take much, as Robin said, for us to cross the finish line with a big win for the department, with having seeded through with the community. Because otherwise it's going to be, there's going to be a loss of support for the department, and there's all in the community, and there's also going to be problems down the line. People who know the park best have made recommendations. So I just would like to ask that we get enough breathing space so that we can incorporate that input into the end reach consensus on the trail network and the revegetation plan.
I don't know anything about designing trails, but obviously it's much more specific than this, right? There's a trail plan. Have you seen the trail? Is this it? I mean, that's it. It just shows this is.
Well, again, this was what we took as a placeholder. And the thing is that, I mean, Watershed Management Group is great at doing rainwater harvesting. We had things that they do well. Strategic Habitat Enhancements has a reputation for native landscaping. Neither one of them has expertise in trail design. There are firms out there and individuals who do have expertise in trail design. Solutions, I think they're called. And, you know, they could be engaged to do it, but it wouldn't even necessarily have to be that. Even if the comments of the equestrians, the birders, the community members, you know, neighbors were incorporated, it could make it a much, much safer, much better trail network. And it really wouldn't take much. And as I say, it would be something that would be very, very positive for the department. Just as the decision to drop the dog park, the master plan, that was a major win for the department because people, you know, frankly, all through that campaign, if you all of that, people were telling me, parks are never going to listen, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I said, you know, just give them time. And you made the decision, you know, you listened to the stakeholders, you made a decision to drop the dog park. The support that came out of that is really incredible. And I feel like some very small investment of time and engagement at this point is, so that's all we're asking for.
Did you say Southwest Conservation Corp was going to be the contributors? Arizona and Conservation Corp, they're used by national parks and they have a window of time that they're available to do work. And they know about safety and compliance and the safety for horses.
There's one company in Iron State, New Trails, and there's some contribution. They're the best trail groups in the state. That's why we try to reach out to them to see if it's happening.
Just to point out one thing about the Arizona Conservation Corps, I mean, I agree, they're great. We worked with them on our second trail closure, but the members of the Arizona Conservation Corps we worked with were interns. So, you know, they were great at, you know, under guidance and direction, you know, constructing, you know, closing trails and doing things that we asked them to do, but they're not trail designers. So, yes, I mean, if they're given steps, they'll do a great job of overhauling the trails, fixing the trails, but that's really different from designing a trail network that will make this real natural resource into the future.
How do we know that the trails that have been designed are not what the stakeholders want?
Because we have a comment document that addresses point by point the trail, individual trails that they could be.
They were in the master plan.
Pardon?
They were in the master plan.
No, the thing is the trail network, I mean, there was nothing in any detail in the master plan about the trail network. This is in the scope of work that that Watershed Management Group submitted. And so, for example, there are these two parallel trails on the west of the national area, and Watershed Management Group is proposing to close off one of those trails. Equestrians have been asking for one of them to be left open because having parallel trails where the equestrians can get out of the way of off-leash dogs or narrow trails where people can't pass each other, in part because trails have been closed off and there's brush, you know, in sort of impinging on the trails. You know, we would like parks to consider leaving that trail open because that's what we need to consider. if I mean, that's what they've recommended, if that can't be, if that's, if Parks decides that that's not possible, then okay, but it just hasn't even been considered. And every single trail closure that was proposed, we considered, and if there were stakeholder concerns, we put them into that document. But as I say, we've never received a response. And that was not quite a year ago.
August of 2023, and what was the document?
It was a I have a copy of it with me, Roland. I think I may have, well, I don't know, I probably haven't sent it to you all because it's very detailed, but it's a comment document that we sent to Tom with a cover letter asking them what they needed to consider.
He might in August of 2023
have been working. He did acknowledge receipt of it.
Didn't work here.
Well, he left in September.
Why? In
September.
Right, going on that. Mid-August.
I don't remember his last day, but it was, I mean, he took a lot of vacation time in his last 2 weeks here. So I can't speak for what he got or didn't get.
Well, as I say, he acknowledged receipt. We just didn't get it.
And I don't know where, you know, so it's a lot of back and forth about what someone's participation that no longer is with the department. What I'm trying to convey is that the department has followed a path that is very similar to pretty much all of our processes, which is keeping to what the master plan has given us, and then engaged a company to do the design, and now engaged a contractor to actually implement the design. So that's currently where we stand.
I think that comment regarding the trails is a big piece.
It's one particular trail, the one horse trail?
No, I mean, I just gave that as an example, but there are a lot, and for example, there's one particular trail I can also give as an example where two different stakeholder groups don't agree. One stakeholder group is a homeowner couple who really would like the trail to be closed because they feel like it contributes to the criminal activity near their house that's been, you know, been happening. The equestrians would like it left open. So, you know, I believe that particular trail watershed management group has asked to remain open. So consensus would mean that, you know, obviously two stakeholder groups don't agree on it. If one decision is going to have to be made, but at least their views can be heard. And in fact, the comments from this homeowner couple were a confidential appendix to the survey we submitted. And again, we didn't receive any response to the survey. And I did send those to you as well, Greg, and we haven't received a response from you either. And I know you're really busy and you have, you know, many, many, many other things on your plate than Matt does too. And you know, I fully understand that. Saying that, you know, we're trying to interrupt the process at a late date is, I think, really unfair to the same thing.
Apparently, we're not going to make everyone happy.
I didn't think about that. I think it was a lack of information.
Yeah.
And I really can't come to consensus. That's what I do for.
Do you remember when we approved this? Did we ask commissioners have any addendum if that's a move? So you remember around continuing the conversation with the stakeholders? It's a bit of a while, but. Because, I mean, we did after the first time, the second time we did.
What 28?
22. December is 22. That's 23.
22. If you'd ask for an addendum, I think we made the census for the top part.
Right, I think the focus was so
focus on the dark.
Trails was that.
Well, and I mean, again, we had no idea that what we thought was sniffers sort of putting what already existed on the map meant that was what would be adopted. If so, we would not.
And I was at all of those surveys in open home about the park, and I remember writing on my survey that I had felt unsafe because there wasn't any way to get away from certain elements without running into cactus or something else, or being able to get around mud or various other issues. And I don't remember ever being asked what trails should stay open or not be open. And I walked that trail a lot, 7-8 year period. So I understand. I hope we also can come to some kind of consensus around this, because it feels like this trail has been adopted as part of the master plan, but also not actually been part of the survey.
Survey.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of dangerous elements. If this isn't your normal park, there's a lot more wildlife in this park. There's a lot of rattlesnakes that lie across trails. I've gone to those a few times. Sometimes they don't tell you they're there. Sometimes they're off to a corner and you're trying to get away from someone, and there they are. And then what do you do? I've seen a mother bobcat with triplets. I've seen Catalina and coyote trailing a small dog. You know, I've seen a lot of elements of that. I've seen people not get around horses. And I've been in that situation. So, I am concerned. I would like to see a really good trail system built with as much consideration as possible for what's going to work for as many people as possible. I would love to see that. I hope we're not past the point where that.
I don't know. We can't.
Well, so this is a commission meeting. That's right. For you all to, make a recommendation.
Is that Carson Wentz leadership? So. Here is you direct watershed management in the process. Do you have a conversation?
So I have to defer to these guys to tell you all where are we in the process and how far along are we.
Well, I'm hearing
we can take land to the community. Doing.
But there's a difference. That's what the meeting was in January. Was that came and was essentially telling us what the plan, what this would be. That was not what we called the meeting to do. What we called the meeting to do was what we thought we were coming to do was to re-engage the process that had been started previously. And so I guess one point, you keep seeing that this is what we do with master plans. This is what we do with master plans. This is an opportunity for the department. I mean, this is, we just talked about the fact that this is the first master plan for natural resource. The master plan that the association came up with is great. I mean, to me, it's a real breakthrough. Everybody, all the conservation stakeholders, really happy to come into the plan. It was a real achievement on the creation. There's an opportunity now for parks to show that doing an implementation for a natural resource park can also be different, and it can also be a breakthrough. And now, it wouldn't take much, just some more stakeholder involvement. And, as far as what you have planned with Arizona Conservation Corps, some of that work, if the trails are like no-brainers, like main trails, there's no reason why that couldn't go ahead and be done, now, next month, whenever you have it scheduled. It's just that there are still open issues about which trails are safe, which trails are, would provide ways for people to get out of the way, you know, which trails people don't agree on. If we can get those resolved, you know, the trail network would be, and, you know, there would be incredible street cred. Well, I should think it's great.
See, a little chance that is, paying someone with an expertise in a particular area, and then we're going to ask people who don't have expertise in that area to, in essence, evaluate it. And that, to me, doesn't make sense.
Well, but the thing is, though, I mean, we do have expertise. I mean, I'm a conservation planner. We have four.
Are you in, do you do trail work?
No, I'm speaking. Yeah. There are professional trail designers. Watershed Management Group is not, that is not their area of expertise. As I say, they're great at rip-wing, rainwater harvesting, education, all that sort of thing. Trail design is not their line of work. And neither is it a self-contractor. And the Arizona Conservation Commission, you know, Conservation Corps, they do a great job of constructing trails, closing trails, whatever, under direction, but they are not built. So, you know, hiring a trail designer, somebody like, you know, Mark Flint, that would be fantastic. But we're not necessarily suggesting that. We're just asking people who've been living this park for the last 30 years, pay attention to what they're saying about what's going to be safe and what you're going to have to worry about in the future. And it would be a real achievement for the department to do that with just a very minimal investment.
I think it's a properly facilitated, I don't feel, and, you know, in this process for 30 years, getting to the win. So I just, I think one meeting, well facilitated. I can't see where watershed management would have a problem. I could be totally wrong. I don't know because I haven't talked to anybody from watershed management. But any information as far as from a business standpoint, any information that's going to get you to the best situation, as far as I'm concerned, is welcome information. So ultimately, you still have final word. You are in a leadership position here. You hire watershed management. Are you willing to have one facilitated meeting with the stakeholders?
And Greg, before you answer that, you said it didn't make sense to hear that someone who would never be on the trail and comment on it. I don't have any bridge expertise at all, but myself and five other people think that private bridge design done by people who supposedly did. And now we're in the process of reforming the Tom Secondary Site. It was going to kill people. And the citizens did that. So, you know, I don't think it's necessary for somebody to have direct experience doing certain things where they will have common sense around certain situations that might have been missed.
I think there are liability issues. I'm not saying this is a liability issue, but if you're worried about liability issues, right? It's a designer to deny something that turns out to be a flaw, then they are actually on the hook. They design something with a flaw. Okay? Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
If I go to the community and change it based on our community needs, and there's a flaw, that was on the hook. Not design firm, because we changed based on what the community said was the right thing to do.
Okay, now
it's
moved into what? Liability, a whole.
Well, that's what we're hearing is that there's risk factors.
Well, I think that's being.
I don't have a problem taking this out and showing the table of plan on doing, but if I were to do that, I'm not doing that with the, wouldn't be with the intent of, well, we should change this trail potentially just later. That doesn't make sense to me.
The only thing I'm worried about is that document from August of 2023 that made specific points about every. What was in the master plan, and there was no response to that.
But that was probably lost in an email in the cloud somewhere because they didn't have
access. It was resubmitted.
Right.
I need to look at it.
If you could look at it, you can find it.
Yeah.
So we can look at it and we can respond to that, but then also to the other thing to understand here as well, being 99% done with watershed management means that the majority of the funds allocated for the design have been expended. 407 has a definitive amount of money allocated for this particular project. So there are implications beyond just let's sit down and have consensus. And then also, too, I'm not going to commit to putting a complete halt on a project right now without going back to Councilmember Dahl and also explaining the feedback from today and making sure, because he was very clear when we met a few weeks ago that he has 100% confidence in what the plan that has been in the process for since we engaged watershed.
He also didn't realize that there were just two issues, trails and irrigation. Irrigation, I feel like, has been.
But irrigation is in place.
That's what I'm saying. And that's right. Already been addressed.
And the trails is echoing what the master plan has been adopted
right.
And endorsed. And I understand there are feelings about whether certain trails should stay open or certain trails should stay closed. Are we ever going to get to consensus on that? I don't know. But there's also a risk factor. Just like Greg said, so Smith Group is a landscape architect or engineering firm. Landscape architect that was engaged and made recommendations to his public engagement. I've already confirmed that we did provide them the information that the Friends Group had given to us prior to them being engaged. So all of that factors into what they gave us back in terms of a master plan. They are designers, right? In terms of their level of expertise, it's way more than anything that I would ever have because they look at everything from a technical, environmental, geotechnical aspect. That I will never be able to really 100% comprehend, but there's a level of trust in their recommendation and presentation of a master plan. We take that foundation, hand it over to a company that is well respected, that the city has worked and used them multiple times for various projects, and then ask them to complete a design that they have been able to provide back to us. I understand what Jennifer says, her level of confidence in there with the trail design, but they were contracted to do a job that they had a level of confidence that they also are delivering a design that they are liable for if that design is poor. And then now we go to engaging the Conservation Corps, who we know are used across Arizona to do a lot of different work that includes trail. So there is thought and selection that has gone into our process to date. So it does come across as if we've just selected or chosen to go a path that hasn't considered what's in the best interest of the park, or for people who are professionals at what they do.
Okay, I'll find out here. Very specific and issues with the trail system. Not the overall.
But the master plan is essentially the trail system.
The number one priority.
There was the potential because 407 had called out, I believe, for the dog park. And wasn't there at one point in time a splash pad? So, I mean, there's stuff that 407 had called out for that evidently we have listened to the consensus and taken out, right?
We're all agree.
But the majority of the master plan is reflective of how do you bolster that trail system and how do you protect. And that's what was adopted.
Could there be one more meeting where they explain to all the stakeholders the trail system, their watershed management is going to do their thing and just, and then you can hear feedback at that meeting.
Yeah, I think
we'll take a plan to what we're trying to do, and I'll do a community. It's feasible. This isn't everything that's in documents. It's design, these specifications for my own. Yeah. Right. And what I heard you say is that you're obviously going to have to speak with Councilor Verdell and let him know that they're.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give him a summary from the meeting and anything that you all have recommended to occur, confer with his office and make sure that we're all aligned and take next steps.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I'm sorry, was there an agreement on the meeting too?
Just a meeting so that the community knows what's happening with the trails and with the process of watershed management. I mean, what they're doing, taking it back to the community.
But taking feedback, did I hear that?
We're just showing them what's happening, you know, what's been done and explaining the process. And
what I'm hearing is that's already in the message. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I think if the community knows one more time what the final thing will be, and then can they accept feedback?
It has to be a level of detail that is not in the past. It has to be a higher level of detail that we'd be sharing with the community than to the past. If you're showing the design. So, no question people have approached us with the concerns. We haven't heard any of those to our office.
They've been submitted, though. I mean, in writing, they've been submitted. So the only clarification I was asking Becky was whether, as far as the stakeholders that we've been working with are concerned, it wouldn't be helpful for us to, I mean, I think it would be great for them to see the timeline, but that's not what we're asking for. It's just to be informed. What we're asking for is to be involved just a little bit more to tweak what's already there so that it's safe and so that everybody's, as many people as possible, are happy and the park is actually a natural resource park as opposed to some other standard in the city system. So if that's not possible, then it's not possible.
So,
I think what Jennifer's asking for is if we present it to the group, they make recommendation of closing like the parallel trail or keeping it open or that kind of thing, we would make that adjustment at that time.
Or at least consider it.
You would consider feedback.
I think that they would appreciate a finer detail presentation.
Right.
Anybody would.
Yes.
It's just information that we had. There's no motion to accept.
There's no motion that there's going to be a meeting that will include a higher level.
We can't tell you to do a motion or not do a motion. That is something that is at your level to decide.
To be clear,
information. This is your meeting. Right. This is your meeting. I don't direct the meeting. None of us direct the meeting. I just want to be very clear.
Well, because it's not on the agenda for info action.
It was asked to be added to the agenda.
Right.
And the agenda is yours.
Yeah,
They can make a motion. They can make a recommendation by a motion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they can.
If that helps. The clarity.
It helps clarify in the way my brain works.
Well, I know, but I like to keep the fine line. This is your meeting. It's not our meeting.
Absolutely.
And
I don't want to violate anything.
Okay.
So do you want to make
a motion? I would like to make a motion that the Parks Commission make a recommendation to the Parks and to some Parks and Recreation Department to plan and implement a public meeting based on the Rio Vista's after plan. It gives a higher level of detail present master plan and will take
feedback.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it. We all did.
A lot of work. Reports and announcements. I feel like you're going to be making some report. Robin?
Extravaganza. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I know you're going to give a report, Donnie, and it's a great event. I also want to get done with the event that they had. I also talked to the police officer, who does so much over there.
Yeah,
I think I came on the phone. Really, you know what? I'm going to kind of focus and just and honor the police department and all the work that they are doing in the community and the way that they show. Anybody up in Mesa, Quincy, that event was insane. They just ran thousands through there and very well done. And Quincy staff, the Parks and Recreation, PPP, all of the talk about stakeholders, talk about collaborators, partner. That is wonderful. This was the extravaganza. So the Parks and Rec, he was fired up.
He went wrong, sorry.
Yeah.
Do you have any? I don't know. I just want to say I shared the information about Sketchy Business Rose Garden.
Thank you.
Hoping that you've had
tons of people.
Okay, cool.
All right,
staff.
You go first, Tony. We did a little bit of a better job this report of getting some pictures and stuff that we got. And thank Diana. We got the Arizona Snow and Desert Museum project turned out really good with paint and mural. But one last thing that was completed in the last week and a half prior to the state attorney leaving parks and going away. She retired. Anyway, we do also have an agreement with Arizona Sonoran Institute team. They got a grant for some bubble grass treatment, and they're actually going to be, over the next 2 years, bringing some goats, sheep, mountain sheep kind of thing, and they'll be eating. And I will try to give you all a heads up on when those things will be happening. But we finally got through that, and you'll see some goat and or I think they call them mountain sheep.
Yeah, they said maybe even a few donkeys.
Yeah, up there.
Stop and Shop Agricultural Control.
So they're going to eat the buffalo grass?
Yes, and it will find one shortly thereafter, but they won't be able to get it down to the root and quickly spray it. It makes a huge difference.
No, they poop and they just plant the
Yeah, that's just
you know, like,
that's correct. But you're right.
Yeah. supposedly
thanks for bringing that up.
Pretty effective method.
It's private property. Yeah.
We recently made that. And then obviously the ball field crews have been very busy. The NC Dinos was successful. We had a high school tournament shortly thereafter, and now they're quite busy getting ready for all the Little Leagues prep. And so the rain is good and bad, right, because it helps grass grow, but it also helps the weeds grow. And so a lot of our open spaces areas are we're really struggling with the controlling of the weeds. So it's great, but it just creates a little more work, but it's all good.
That's a London rocket. My husband ate it the other day.
Did he?
I told him it's edible.
He tried it. What was that?
The one of the weeds that comes up and has the little yellow flower is actually related to arugula.
Yeah.
So I told him and he just went out and tried it.
How'd that work out for him?
He's still alive. No.
The dogs are healed.
No, no. In the wider land area. Right. I told him I tried
it. It's not bad with butter and garlic.
Almost.
That's it, Mike?
Yeah? All right. Yeah.
Okay. So we did have our A-Time at Quincy Douglas. It's his community event. And they were able to have three different egg hunts for three different age groups, about 100, 150 kiddos, 30 each age, you know, age group. But, yeah, again, like Robin said, just amazing community partners there. And so they don't just walk away with, like, you know, a couple of eggs. Like, they walk away with a big knife bag with a bunch of eggs. So, yeah, always a good time there. And it was a good time. And everybody has a good time while they're there. So very happy about that. Extravaganza. Had about 800 kids at that event, one of the largest attendance that we've had in a really long time there. The weather held out all the way to the very end. It didn't even get windy until the very end. But it was great. Councilman Dahl was out there, and he handed out bags to the kids who forgot to bring a basket, which was really super helpful for everyone, and that was really appreciated. So that was a huge hit. So now he's on the hook every year to do that. It really should. Like a big bow tie in really big ears.
You would love it.
Next year. Yeah, we do have the Easter Bunny make an appearance, and she took thousands of pictures while she was there. But, yeah, about 800 kids. And this year we were able to really tally the amount of kids. So it was like 803.
Wow.
So now we know. So it was great. Our job fair that we had last month, we either had 89 or 98 people come through and apply and do all those things. I can't remember. It's either one or the other. For statistical purposes, we'll go 98. So they came through here at admin. They were able to talk to all the different groups, whether it was summer program, lifeguarding, sports, TR. They had some popcorn, you know, listen to some groovy music and got some questions answered. And so that was really good. And then things coming up. So we have Marty Bergman has their open house on April 6th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then El Rio Neighborhood Center is having their annual health fair on the 6th as well. It'll be all day. They collaborate with the College of Pharmacy with the University of Arizona. And so that one is always like 200, 300, 400 people that go there. They have all kinds of different testing stations, and then it's all free. And so that's really nice, hearing and joints and blood and diabetes and all that good stuff. And then we have our second annual Battle of the Bands, April 7th, here at the OPC. It starts at noon. We had 16 kids or bands apply. And then actually a 15 because the 16th was two 29-year-old men. I guess they took their shot. But it's for kids, so we said, thanks, but no thanks. So they had a couple of the judges come through. They listened to the demos that they sent in, and they ended up picking 8 bands, which is 2 more than we had last year. So that's really great. That's, again, April 7th at noon, so we're really excited about that. The winner of last year, their lead singer, is going to be one of the judges this year. So I'm like that, so that's really awesome. For sports, we have our user group meeting in the evening on April 11th, and so that's all the fall sports. They come together, and we kind of give them a spiel about the do's and don'ts of field maintenance and, you know, any concerns or questions that they have, and then we're able to get everybody on the same page and really establish a solid groundwork, you know, so that everybody knows exactly where we're at prior to starting their fall league, so soccer, football, Donaligans have their open house on April 13th. That one is all day. Then on the Saturday, oh, that's on Saturday, and that's all day. And then we have a Power Wheels event. It's the same. It's the second annual Power Wheels. And so Power Wheels, like those things that the kiddos ride that are battery-operated, not pedal-operated, but battery-operated. It starts at 10 a.m. It's at Ori Center. Last year, we had, you know, an okay turnout. There was probably 20 kids that came. This year, we were already sold out on our 3- to 4-year-olds, 5- to 6-year-olds, and then we have 10 spots left for 7 and 8. So we have so far 70, 80 kids signed up. They'll do like heats, and then they'll have a final race, and then the champion. But in the meantime, they'll also have Ready, Set, Rec there, and things to do inside the center, and things to do outside of the center, and photo ops and all that good stuff. They'll get little racing things. And we have to check out their Power Wheels because their dads try to soup them up. So, so we have those check-ins. I know. It's great.
But it is cute.
It is
the cutest races
thing. And we can't wait. Yeah, it'll be good. Quincy Douglas has their open house on April 19th, starting at 11 a.m. And then throughout the month, Kidco's starting to wrap up their school year program. And so the kids each have individual performances that they're putting on for their parents. So those are kind of happening throughout the month of April. It's a little bit of a slower month for us because we're starting to wind down and get ramped up for summer. I mean, we're already wrapped up. So you see some more gray hairs popping out. That's not a threat, but it'll be all right. We'll be okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, couple capital projects. Barry and Paul is going to be awarded on Monday. We expect the groundbreaking sometime in May and construction starting in May. And John F. Kennedy improvements are in the same boat. They were just awarded, so construction started in May. We're expecting Santa Rita and Jacobs to not be too far behind them. So, 4 big projects.
So one of the things that Donnie didn't highlight that I think her team deserves a lot of kudos for is to hit all of our vacancies for Kitco and lifeguards in March is unheard of, but we're full. So we're still hiring for therapeutics. We're still hiring for sports, but we have definitely done a good job of staying very relevant and attracting the talent pool to come in, whereas many municipalities are still struggling, especially in aquatics. Aquatics still tends to be a hot topic at the national level, and there are still pools and beaches that can't open because they can't hire. We are not in that position. So kudos to their team for that. Last Sunday, thank you for sending out the flyer, but last Sunday we were able to make something I hoped we could do. I don't know if you guys remember, a couple years ago I did a presentation about the Rose Garden and all the work it needed. So we did, last year we had put in the new irrigation, and so basically set the foundation for being able to take in new bushes. We have an amazing volunteer. Her and her husband mapped out a whole area, a quadrant of it, and gave us a list of 100 and we tried to do 140 rose bushes, and it's interesting learning that it's not quite easy when you're looking for specific species and whatnot, but we were able to get 126 procured, and we made it we called it a blooming event, a reblooming event, and man, the community came out and they were just so excited to be there and be part of what is what I thought was a beloved garden really is a beloved garden. Folks who love roses share, I mean, it was interesting. They would be putting a rose in the ground and then they would stand up and tell me a story about coming there as a kid. So very, very touching moment to witness that and see it. And so now it's, but it also, we've learned a lot. The staff know now what we have to do in order to prep. And we're hoping that next year we can put 400 in. And the Royal Society, I went and talked to them, and they're helping to connect me, hopefully to a better avenue for procuring plants. But I didn't know this until Sunday when one of the Rose Society members was talking to me. That garden has the ability to hold 1,200 roses. So we probably have now, with the new ones we put in, close to 400. So if we do 400 next year, and then we'll do one final planting in the third year. And we're paying for the roses because the Parks Foundation, before they closed, had done a final fundraising effort. And so they gave us the money. So we were able to buy the plants, the mulch, the fertilizer, thanks to their contribution to the department. And this winter, I plan on inviting the original gentleman who planted the entire rose garden to come and walk it with me, in hopes that maybe, because he did mention that he would like to help also with replanting it. So I feel like the momentum that we envisioned a few years ago is really starting there. So I'm very excited about that. April 9th is going to be a big incubator and council day for the city and for parks. That's when the manager will be presenting the recommended budget for fiscal year 25, which starts on July 1st. But it's also going to be the day that we have the public hearing on the fees that I reviewed with you all a few months ago. At the moment, there hasn't been any negative feedback. I don't have any indication that the fees will not move forward. The one thing that we are going to be doing is in the code, if you go to the code right now, there's a lot of fees that are listed for the Parks Department. A lot of them are no longer relevant, valid, they're out of date. So there's been an agreement that really is a cumbersome, kind of an old school way of managing fees and writing them into the code. So those are going to be recommended to take the language out, and we'll just maintain the fees through our website, through the city clerk's office, and then, of course, someone could contact our office and ask for the full list of fees. So I think those are our two major updates. We currently have the sports fields and turf manager position open for recruitment. When we fill it, that'll be the first time we've ever had someone on staff that is specifically under that title and to help the next phased journey of what Mike and I started about 2 years ago in terms of carving out like an actual official ball field team. Right now we have three crews. The park area supervisor that was supervising them retired. So this was an opportunity for us to advertise and get someone that has a professional background. Generally, we did the same thing in Miami. Generally, you get folks that have worked for universities or sports teams that have some formal training, sometimes from golf courses. So we're excited to see what we end up with there and looking forward to that hire. That's it.
Okay.
Well,
this
is
Melissa.
He's done it?
I mean, I don't know exactly how old he is. I'd say he's
got to be, because that was going to be there when I lived.
So he opened the first McDonald's also in the particular area of Colorado. He also invented the Happy Meal, which is why I think he's super cool. But he's retired.
Yeah.
So I don't know how old. He's very active with the zoo as well. So a good connection to have. But I honestly, just from a personal perspective, the very first parks director worked with him to do the Rose Garden. So I think it's just nice that now all these years later, I'm able to help.
Yeah.
Kind of reinvest in that legacy. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Any features and I'll get them
all for you. So we do know we have two. Mr. Bo had requested two particular ones, one on the Park Ranger program and one about water fountains. So since he was not going to be here today, we did defer them to the next meeting. I don't know.
So water fountains.
Water fountains.
Second.
How is this going to work if there's only two of us with the motion on the second?
I don't know.
Wait,
that's
too
bothering.
Yeah, right? Make it, shall we make it?
There's no second, it doesn't go.
It's always body enough.
Happy Easter, if you haven't signed it.
Yes, happy Easter.
Can't leave it till we take over.
Oh, yeah, nice chair. I
need to
In whatever that date is, he will be maxed out at that point, and he has to have a year break.
Let me know.
I sure will.
Do you think we're going to have you?